I'm driving in my car. I turn on the radio.
Hey, how about you let me drive?
Oh, no.
Who's gonna drive you home?
Honey, please, I'll do the driving.
Drive on.
Excuse me, I want to drive.
Just drive, baby.
It's the question that drives us.
This is the Drive to the Close.
That funky music will drive us till the dawn.
On Bloomberg Radio.
And it's time for the Drive to the Close. We head closer and closer to the close of trading here in the U.S. As you heard Bob say, all the major indices are up right around 0.8% each. So let's figure out what's driving that and maybe take a look ahead to the next couple days, looking west to Jackson Hole. Aaron Kennan is co-founder and chief executive officer of Clear Harbor Asset Management. They look after more than $700 million. He joins us on the phone from New York City. Aaron, great to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me again.
All right, so I take it you're going to be tuned in to everything that's coming out of Jackson Hole. We've been sort of joking about it, but not really on the show, that it's been a few years since we've been this focused on what's going on out at that symposium.
Yeah, I'm certainly interested to see what Chairman Powell has to say. I think, unlike previous chairmen that have been sort of rooted in some of the academic work of monetary policy, I think he is less anchored, and I don't mean that as a critique, but I think that we have certainly heard, you know, one week one thing and the next week another thing based on the changing data set as well as the changing nature of the capital market structure. So it wouldn't surprise me if, and I do think the market is starting to realize that, if he was perhaps a bit more dovish, let's say, at Jackson Hole than the minutes today intimated.
Aaron, Marty Schenker here. Obviously, the gorilla not in the room is Donald Trump and his criticisms of the Fed. Do you think that in some way affects the communication that Jerome Powell has to convey to the marketplace?
Well, Marty, I don't think it's helpful, for sure. I do think Powell is his own person. I think the FOMC is its own working board, if you will. I think they're looking at the data set, and I think they're sort of looking at the U.S. data set and saying, well, the glass is sort of half full. We have consumer data that looks strong, employment data looks strong, but gosh, that manufacturing data and the PMI data at both home and abroad look pretty darn ugly. I think they're also realizing that perhaps they raise rates too fast, and they cut their balance sheet since 2017 while the rest of the world was frankly expanding their balance sheet and embracing a negative interest rate policy. So I think it's unfortunate that, you know, Trump can sort of wave the flag and say I was right, because I do think there's a basis for probably cutting rates from here. And now it's going to be, of course, a question as to how the market perceives that decision. I do think that the Fed is about to cut rates by much more than 25 basis points on a go-forward basis. So we'll have to wait and see on that.
So, Aaron, earlier on in the show, Marty and I were able to catch up with Max Baucus, the former U.S. ambassador to China during the Obama administration, also a former U.S. senator, of course. He essentially said, as it relates to U.S.-China, probably not going to get anything meaningful by way of a deal before the election, except for something that the Trump administration is essentially able to cobble together at the last minute, sort of to declare victory ahead of that vote next November. A, do you agree from what you see? And B, how do you invest into a scenario like that?
Yeah, I think there are a couple things going on. One is I tend to embrace that general view. It may sound a bit cynical, but I think that it would be in the best interest for Trump to sort of hold out, even if he has a quote-unquote trade deal with China, because he's able to sort of speak to his base, and I think that can be good solid politics for the November election. But I also believe the market is almost too focused on the China-U.S. trade dispute. I think it's a little bit of, frankly, a red herring for the overall negative tone in the global economy. So what I'm trying to say is that if the trade dispute were to somehow settle tomorrow, I think the global economy remains still a huge question mark, and that's why the ECB and the BOJ have embraced negative interest rates. They haven't embraced negative interest rates because they're worried about the global trade spat between the U.S. and China per se. But I also think there's another repercussion that people are not necessarily contemplating, and that is the global supply chain uncertainty. When you have the current administration not only pointing fingers at China, which I think is frankly well-grounded, I think China's broken WTO rules for years now, and it's about time that we have this conversation with China. But if you're a company that says, I may want to depart from China and put my manufacturing somewhere else, whether it's Indonesia, Malaysia, Mexico, it's not clear how the Trump administration, President Trump in particular, is going to conduct himself as it pertains to tariffs on these countries. He one day does one thing and the next day does another. So the uncertainty is leading, I think, business decision-making at a very uncertain sort of status at the moment. Not great for the global supply chain.
Aaron, let me ask you, do you think the U.S., there's weakness around the world in various places. Is the U.S. headed for a slowdown or even a recession?
I think I work in probabilities, and I think that the probability that the U.S. economic trajectory continues to be one of a sideways to downward sloping economy is higher today than it's been at any time within the last couple of years. I think we need to keep our eyes very closely on the employment data, on consumer behavior in the United States, because that's what's kept us up at 70% of the U.S. economy. But to suggest that the U.S. economy is the global economy is continuing to deteriorate, and the U.S. is going to be somehow immune to that, I think the probability of that is unlikely as well. So I'm not calling for a recession, but I think we need to be very careful here not to look at current data and assume that that represents the current state of the economy. That's data that we're looking at through the rearview mirror.
Gold, how does that feel to you right now, Aaron?
Well, I don't like to be too tactical, but I will say that I think that the other big theme here in the world today is that currencies are trying to outdo one another.
Right.
And the U.S. is late to the game on that. And I think the Fed has realized that. They can't say it explicitly. The dollar remains extraordinarily strong versus the euro and the yen, of course, but other currencies like the South Korean won or the Australian dollar. And I think that by reducing rates, it will be an implicit way to try to reduce the value of the dollar. But at the end of the day, this race towards zero in currencies, maybe I'm being a little provocative by saying that, is going to benefit gold over the long haul. So generally, net positive posture towards gold here.
Great stuff. Aaron Kennan is co-founder and chief executive officer of Clear Harbor Asset Management. He joined us on the phone from New York City.